I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Hey folks, Lying Media Bastard Show back again, only slightly later than I anticipated. I think before I had said I was going to try to do the show weekly. So now I may have to do it weekly unless I have nothing to say, in which case I will not do a show. I don't know if I have anything. I didn't have anything to say right after the elections. It was everything seemed obvious, and yet nobody knew anything. So what was I going to add to any of that? I do want to talk about with the election Proposition 8 here in California. Proposition 8, slight one by a small margin in the ballot. The yes vote meant that there would be a new constitutional amendment to the California Constitution, saying that gay people could not get married, something that didn't get emphasized enough. And honestly, I didn't think of it in these terms myself, but this actually took away a right from people. This was not a bill saying that no, gay people cannot get married in the future. People in California already had the right to have same-sex marriages, and this constitutional amendment takes that away. Which is horrible. You don't hear that many times about people losing rights, about a law being passed or a constitutional amendment taking away a right that people have already gotten. And this did that. This took away people's rights. Also been hearing a lot regarding this bill with, sadly, a lot of the gay community and gay allies did not really take action in time. They really kind of thought that this was, you know, that they didn't need to worry, that, you know, enough people are gay-friendly and gay-positive that this bill wouldn't pass. And it wasn't really until the last week, almost, that this bill was, or before the election, that people started to realize that this was in trouble, and they started taking action, and by then it was too late. I don't recall if I mentioned this on a previous show, but a lot of it had to do with misleading and lying propaganda from the Yes on 8 people. The Yes on 8 ads acted as though, I think I even heard things like they were saying that your child was going to have to learn about gay marriage in school, teachers would be forced to have it, and that your church would lose their tax-exempt status, and what was the last one? Oh, that your kids will have to go to lesbian weddings as a field trip. And that was what was going to happen if you voted no. Whereas if you voted no, it meant there would be no amendment, meaning absolutely nothing would change. Which is kind of funny. And also, I wonder to what extent it was just confusing the way many ballot propositions are, that people might have, some small percentage of people might have just thought that, oh, this is the gay marriage bill, I support gay marriage, I'll vote yes, when actually the yes meant there will be a constitution banning gay marriage. I did hear one interesting interview with a reporter for, I believe it was The Nation, Mother Jones, one of those magazines. He was reporting on the campaign up to the election about Proposition 8, and he said that the Yes on 8 people, the anti-gay marriage people, that the rallies and things they had were not actually explicitly homophobic or anti-gay or anything like that. He said that they were actually very pro-heterosexual and pro-family, which was kind of interesting. I started trying to think about that. Well, what exactly, why were people voting for this? Why was this such a big deal? And I think that finally came to me. I finally realized that it's these people who are wanted to ban gay marriage, who think that, you know, it's a threat to the sanctity of marriage and all that. They don't think homosexuality is real. They don't really seem to think that there are people who are attracted to people of their own sex. That this is entirely about kinky sex acts. This is about, it's a perversion, and it's a choice people are making, or it's a phase they're going through, or it's an attempt by people to be different, weird, shocking, whatever. Of course, the people who feel this, the Yes on 8 people who feel this way, it's everything's always about them. This is not about people actually who have nothing to do with them who want to get married. These people are doing it to get at the Yes on 8 people, the fearful anti-gay people. And in that context, this belief that homosexuality is somehow this defiant act rather than an actual sexual orientation, I could see to them how the idea of gay marriage could hurt regular marriage, because then it's people who are not really gay, because there is no really such thing as gay, are getting married for the thrill, shock, defiance, whatever reason, not really because they love that other person, and that degrades marriage, which is possibly true. I don't care if anything degrades marriage, because I don't care, but I think there's something to this. So, you know, I'll keep fleshing it out in my mind, but I really think there are people who feel that way. That the homosexuality is this weird, aggressive, in-your-face thing done by people. Homosexuality is not something done between two people of the same sex. It's done between two people of the same sex trying to hurt, shock, offend, scare straight people who have nothing to do with it. That's the feeling I got at the moment. It's not everybody, of course, and there's plenty of people who I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I think people who, they were just, they're uncomfortable with it. They don't want to have to explain to their kids what gay is, because, which would they'll have to do if it becomes a more common, normalized thing, having gay married couples, and to them, you know, suck it up. That's reality for you. Maybe you don't want to talk to your kids about, you know, about AIDS and slavery and death and all sorts of horrible things in this world. That's what the world is. You got to deal with it. Just because you don't like something or wish it wasn't there doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean you have to deal with it. So, deal with it. Let's see. Now, also, of course, also in big news with the election is Barack Obama won the election. You may have heard. You may have seen it in a giant 3,000-point font on the front of every newspaper in the country, every website. And you may have been one of the many people who apparently were cried with joy the election of Barack Obama. Of course, Barack Obama, I cannot imagine him being worse than George W. Bush, and it seemed very clear to me that John McCain would be very similar to George W. Bush. Some people even argued he would be worse, which does stretch the brain lobes trying to envision what that would be like. So it seems like it's undeniably a positive thing that he won this election. But I still do not know what to think of the guy. I admit part of my brain is still stuck in the mode that Democrats are the good guys, liberals are the good guys, and, you know, oh, he seems like a good guy, and hooray, hooray. But only part of me, and that's not a very strong part of me. It's a part of me that ends up being at war with the other side of being like, well, he's a politician, and politicians are liars and thieves, and they're more interested in maintaining their own power and the status quo than actually helping any of their constituents. So I'm torn there. And the thing that frightens me, or concerns me perhaps, is when I think about the all the optimism there was when Bill Clinton was elected president, because it wasn't as extreme as the euphoria we've seen with Barack Obama, but people were so cheerful, so optimistic, and you remember Clinton. And no, this has nothing to do with the sex. It has nothing to do with his persona or his healthcare plan that didn't work out. I think with the bad things, he attacked Somalia, attacked Kosovo. One of the first things he did was bomb Iraq. Once he took power, signed the Defense of Marriage Act, which made it illegal for gay people to get married nationwide. He maintained the sanctions against Iraq, which by estimates that I've read say that probably that the lack of food and medicine in the country because of the sanctions probably killed about 1 million children. Just children probably killed 1.5 million Iraqis over a decade. He also signed NAFTA, which sent all sorts of American jobs to Mexico and sent all sorts of American products tariff-free into Mexico, hurting the Mexican economy and the workers there, especially in the agricultural sector. I believe 1 million Mexicans, I'd read, lost their jobs directly due to NAFTA and agriculture, and then a lot of those people ended up coming to the United States to find work. So the immigration crisis, of course not a crisis, largely caused by the actions of NAFTA, by those sorts of bills. I'm also told that under the Clinton years, they passed the sort of deregulating the finance industry, which led to the housing bubble, housing crisis, economic bailouts that we're seeing today. So this is the last guy that Democrats were very optimistic about. So this concerns me. I do hear an awful lot of good things that we, you know, like, oh, Obama's going to do this and that and this and that. And, you know, I hope he does good stuff. I hope he undoes a lot of the damage of the Bush administration. But I honestly don't know that I can expect much more than that, if I can even expect that. You know, you keep hearing about people he's assigning to his cabinet or might be assigning to his cabinet. And a lot of them are you know, straight up Clinton advisors who, as we can see, are not the best folks. And on top of that, we see, I believe he's going to keep Gates on as Secretary of Defense, the guy who's been, you know, was Secretary of Defense under Bush. And we remember we are not big fans of what was done by Bush. Something that I'd read that really I did not see coming. You know, when I heard that Barack Obama had won the election, I was like, oh, okay, good. And kind of went about my day. That was, I was very calm about it all. But hearing to how so many people, just seeing so many headlines saying, you know, this is a historic day, historic, and so many people who, like, this was such a huge thing, and I realized that to so many people that the fact that a black man had been elected president, that in itself, even if Barack Obama had been a horrible person in every other respect, black man as president was a huge deal to a lot of people. And I guess I can see that. I mean, you know, black people get shit on in this society. We know how that goes. And to see that after so much racism, prejudice, the fight against racism and prejudice, to actually see an African-American take the top political office, that is a powerful thing. Unfortunately, what I think we're going to see a lot of, this has happened, is that conservatives will now, because there's politicians and especially your neighbors, your co-workers who are conservative, are going to now act as though this is the final nail in the coffin of racism. There is no more racism because one of your guys is president. I believe we will hear a lot of that. And of course, just because there is a black president does not mean that racism, racial attitudes, prejudices, discrimination, racial violence, racial hate, not all that goes away. I was actually reading an article earlier today that was cataloging the number of racist acts that were reported in local newspapers across the country since the Obama election. And I believe there were... it was a long article, let's just say that. And granted, nationwide, maybe that doesn't seem like such a big deal. Maybe because I read like 20 or 30 of these incidents, you know, over a nation of 300 million people. Maybe that's not a big deal. Maybe there's that many. Maybe that's less than the average number of slightly appalling racial incidents that happen in this country. I don't know. And on top of that, too, I'm also thinking that the election of Barack Obama, that smart political racists are going to use this as a recruitment tool. White supremacists will definitely try to rally the troops around black men in the White House. And a lot of other conservatives who do a lot of race baiting, I think, will be... it's already starting to get ugly. You do hear things that are a lot more explicitly racist than in the past. So we will see how that goes. And then finally, back in the media aspect of things, it was very funny. Joe Scarborough is a dickhead pundit who has a show on, it's CNN or MSNBC or one of these. Not smart, not funny, doesn't make good points. I believe he had one good stance. Like, he had a good stance on copyright or internet freedom or something, but for the most part he's just, you know, a bit of a jackass. But on his show on I believe on Monday of this week, he was discussing some Barack Obama action, and he said something to the effect of this is a fuck you by Obama. And the show was live, and that phrase went out over the air, and that wouldn't matter. It'd be, you know, whoops, funny little slip, or, you know, whatever, except that he has frequently triumphed. He's been a champion of decency and morality on the airwaves. He fought very hard for punishment for the Janet Jackson nipple bearing. If you recall that from the Super Bowl so many years ago. And also he's championed the proper language on the broadcast media. Where was the... I found a good quote in here from somewhere. No, he just seems... there's a number of comments in here against Barbra Streisand and Bono, both who apparently said the F word at some point in a concert and him and during an award ceremony and then something like that where he got a little out of hand. And... But now, no, after all of the hand-wringing and breast-beating and what about the children-ing, he says that on the air. And if for it to come out that casually makes you think, maybe this is something he says a lot. Maybe this has all been bullshit that he's been trying to do to gain power, fame, whatever. So, fuck that guy. Okay, and I'm going to play one song on here. Why the hell not? I just found that on my desktop. I don't know much of anything about it. It's by a fellow named P.O.S. The song's called P.O.S. is Ruining My Life. It's not bad. I will talk to y'all soon.
Under a flask and a cut peeking from the bottom of a glass. All this nonsense, innocence, common sense, consequence, indulgence in bourbon. This herb between city kings is disturbed. I see the same shit from her. She just sits silent, watching life just pass by in a blur. Ain't it funny? We can sneak into our lives in a stir over the perfect things to say and then just choke on the words. Everybody wanna be the next. Everybody wanna be in step. Everybody wanna fuck. Everybody want the consequences to play defense. Everybody's got shit luck. Everybody wanna move to a beat. Everybody wanna make a dent. Every girl is looking for the next best thing. Every boy's in love with this girl's best friend. Everybody hates me. Everybody wanna fight. The song, I can't sleep in the moonlight. I'm right there with you. Singing in my own skin. I got the clothes and the jaded green. I'm at the bar with the coffee shop. But I don't like drinking and I fucking hate coffee shops. I'm off to stop the world. It's been screaming like it's off the world. This ain't amusement. I'm a loser. It's bullshit. $0.02. But everybody seems to have the same change. But can't break my father. $0.02. But can't spend nothing if I'm holding the carpet. It's like, come down and just breathe and just breathe in and out. Feel a whole lot better. Close your eyes. If you can't see them, then they can't see you. right.
Close your eyes.
I can never be what I wanna be, nothing but a man. Nothing deep inside of me, nothing I can understand if I try. And so I try to get a grip, a hold, a handle, a hand. I can never be what I wanna be, nothing but a man. Nothing deep inside of me, nothing I can understand if I try. And so I try to get a grip, a hold, a handle, a hand. And it's strange to think it might break. Scratch, crack, silence. And it's strange to think it might break. Scratch, crack. I live in the city like any other. We all live alone. The only difference is we don't seem to know it. Frozen and lonesome when it's cold. In the summer got away from the loathing, holding our posture so low. And we drink so there's not much worth noting. Strolling so vacant, so shaken, so ghost, so gone, so mistaken, so broke, so complacent, so worn out, so worn out, so worn out, so full of doubt, so full of restraint, so full of that self-control. For the lack thereof, that we got the soul.
Come down and just breathe in, just breathe in and out. You feel a whole lot better, close your eyes. If you can't see them, then they can't see you. Right, close your eyes.
I can never be what I wanna be, nothing but a man. Nothing's evil inside of me, nothing I can understand. If I try, can't, so I try, get a grip, so hold.